I greet you in Jesus' name. We had such a wonderful time during our monthly prayer and fasting yesterday. And appreciating all the families which made the efforts to come. It was a joy to see the young people being present. We are praying for a number of prayer requests. And among them, this Saturday we are starting the building of the church in Chongwe. So that's a step of faith we are taking. And we are beginning to dig the foundation. And we are committing all to the Lord, trusting that He will see us through. And sometime in November to December, I am hoping to travel to the Philippines. So, this is the first time I'll be meeting this group. They said they are in the, I think, the rural places of that region. This pastor was excited looking at the sermons on the website. So let me just read a portion of the letter he wrote. You can take your seat, Saints. He says, the reason why I email you is because I was greatly moved with tears, being touched and was enlightened by the biblical and spiritual truth you preach and teach in your church. As I visited in your website in the internet cafe, I thank God for the high and advanced technology through the World Wide Web in the internet. We found your church that teaches the real and genuine truth. Oh, how I wish that this new found truth you teach would be transmitted here. Here in Mindanao Island. Praise God for the real and genuine truth that has been restored in his church. Okay, I'll skip here. It's a lengthy letter. He says, we want to join your church organization as your church extension or a branch here in the Philippines. So much the better if you can visit us here and hold a 3 days Bible truth seminar to equip and to encourage tribal pastors, workers, and members. Lastly, maybe your church will be the answer of our long time prayers to have a right connection to the church abroad that teaches a real and genuine biblical truth. God bless you. And he signed it off himself and his wife. So, well, sometimes you think the message has spread around the world, but you can tell by the writing of this, I think they are hearing this thing for the first time, right? And so when we see a need like that, we want to respond. We want to do whatever we can to respond to that need. But more importantly, for the Lord to lead and to guide us. Amen. A similar letter came from Pakistan. I think a few days after I saw this, another one came. This one was from Pakistan. Again, it had a similar tone and language. So I hope to talk to Brother Hubert, probably if I can go through India, then we go together, if that can work. But we lay everything at the feet of the Lord, I think. You can see here there's a great need, what we saw in Chongwe. And we have two brothers there. You know what is exciting about Chongwe is the people who are on ground there, both of them are products of a crusade, right? Over the 3-4 year period. They're evangelizing. And it's interesting how one of them had that vision experience. Amen. But when we get to build the church there, I hope to spend more time there until, you know, people come to the knowledge of the truth of the scriptures. So when work is starting, it's a lot of work. So may the Lord help us. And during the ended revival meetings, there's a prophecy which went forth, and I am hoping to put it in words. You remember that? You remember that?
Yeah.
So when a message has been given in tongues and there's interpretation, you don't just let it slip away like that. We need to write it down, put it in word, and then we can throw it on the group, and we reflect on it prayerfully.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. Now let us read 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse
13.
This is a little thought I have been meditating on. And I hope it will be a blessing to you. 1 Peter 1, verse 13. We shall stand for the reading. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful this morning for the privilege and opportunity that you've given us to be able to come and gather at the feet of the Lord. And we know that at the feet of the Lord, it is the highest place to be. It's the highest place anyone can be. And we are so happy, Lord. We rejoice in our hearts to have that opportunity this morning. And now, Father, forgive us our sins, things that would hinder us, Lord, from fully receiving that which you have prepared for us this morning. As we look through your word, there could be many things going on through someone's mind. Thoughts can be staggering around. But now, Lord, I pray that you take over in Jesus' name. That every thought and imagination be arrested to the submission of the word of God. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray with thanks in our hearts. Amen.
Amen.
We may be seated, saints. Now, when you look at that word, it says, gird up the loins of your mind. Brother Teddy, can we have the scripture there, please? It says, gird up the loins of your mind. Now, do you know what that word gird up means? It means be prepared. Let your mind be in a state of readiness. So when you read it in a much simpler Bible translation, it reads something like, prepare your minds for action. Can we speak that phrase? Prepare your minds for action. Can we speak that together?
Prepare your minds for action.
Now watch the next phrase which follows. It says, be sober. Now when you read it in the NLT, it says, exercise self-control. Well, that is exactly what the word be sober means. It means exercise self-control. Right? Amen. So the full sentence says, wherefore get up the loins of your mind, be sober. In other words, let your mind be in a state of readiness to take action. And it's only when the mind is in that state that it can have self-control. Now, why should the mind be in a state of readiness to take action? There are three things there. The mind getting ready. Ready for what? Taking action. Why taking action? Three, because you need to have self-control. Do you realize all these three elements are missing when someone is intoxicated, let's say with alcohol? When a person is drunk, the mind is in disarray. That is why they are so vulnerable to danger. If a snake is crawling around and someone is drunk, the eyes will be seeing something, but there will be a failure to take appropriate action or the speed at which that action needs to be taken. But when one is alert, the mind becomes very alert. Why? You are sober. Your brain will immediately interpret the danger that thing is posing. In other words, there will be preparation for action. Oh, maybe I need to take a stone. Maybe I need to run away. There will be that readiness for action. Why? What are you trying to do? You are trying to take control of the situation. Now, the mind needs to be in that state. But we are not speaking of physical things like a snake or something danger in your physical environment. We are looking at right inside you, the very center where your decisions get made. You know, important things are not always visible outside. When you look at a big vehicle, like a truck, if you want to judge importance by size, you think the big trailer behind is the most important thing. Or the it's nice big head. Or the elegant wheels it has. But you know what? The most important thing is hidden from sight. It's in the engine there. It's covered. You don't see it. It doesn't even look beautiful. But when people are advertising vehicles, they advertise the nice looking body, the shiny body, right? They'll show the features it has, the aircon inside, the leather seats. But you know, a vehicle can have all those things if its engine is kaput. That's useless. Brother Chilufya is an expert. He's into automakes, you know. When we're talking about vehicles, he always talk about that engine is good. Whenever I have a chat with him over vehicles, what he mentions are engines. That engine is good. Because the brother knows that field. He knows things which are truly important. Now, you can be cleaning your vehicle every day with the car shampoo. It always looks nice. But if you don't maintain that engine, you don't pour oil in it, you don't service it, that's no good. If you ask Brother John, what are the important things you always need to do on the vehicle? He may never mention about washing the outward body and all that. He always talk about, hey, you need to change your oil, you need to watch your air filters. Those are things he always tells me. But you know, that's how human life is. It's a pity that we spend so much time on how we look outwardly. Investing in assets, in resources, how you look, how you know, how your outward appearance is. But you look at the heart, it has no oil. The air filters are long gone. There is dust in the soul which has accumulated. So when you look at it, it looks like it's a vehicle, it's moving. But it's gassing, it removes that terrible dark smoke and all the noises in the bearings and all that. If you look at it, the problem is not outwardly. It's because inside the heart, the engine of that vehicle is not being maintained. So what is your engine? We're looking at that thing in you that makes you get up and say, let me take a bath now. I think it's time to eat now. We want to look at your decision center in you. That makes your life move on every day. Here's what I want us to appreciate, saints. You have a mind in you. And that mind, as you walk through in life, there are so many things which want to get the attention of that mind. They want to gain its attention. Things fight for your attention. You may not even realize it. But every time you pick your phone and you're looking at things, there are hundreds of things, they are begging for your attention. When you turn on your radio, whatever voices you are hearing, they are seeking the attention of your mind. Every commercial you hear, it wants to convince you this is the right product for you to buy. And Apostle Peter warns us, keep guard of your mind, let it be in a state of preparedness for action. The question is, what action? And why is that action important? Now, although I've started out talking about a vehicle and an engine, I really want us to look at the mind as a garden. Now remember, You can live life in two ways. Where you walk through time and situations. Is this the coiling which is causing that? Okay. Now you can move through life by having circumstances push you around, and you just move through situations and you become shaped by the happenings around you. Or you can be very conscious and alert to know what is happening right now. What am I supposed to do? Is this helping me? Now, let us go to Genesis chapter 2, verse 15. Yeah. Genesis 2 verse 15. Shall we read? And the Lord took the man and put him into the garden of Eden to dress it and to do what? Two things, huh? It talks about to dress the garden and to keep it. Do you realize that Eden was a perfect place? God put a beautiful garden. But he needed something superior to an animal, superior to plants and trees. Something which is able to think. Something which is able to do work. For what purpose? For what work? To dress the garden and to keep it. Do you realize that is work? Meaning Adam had work. The perfect state of affairs needed to be sustained. To maintain it. Now, you see, it takes work to produce a garden out of a bush. You know that? But the beauty with Eden was it started out as a garden, and man's work was to maintain it the way God had given it to him. Dressing and keeping means you do something continuously. And consistently. You know what consistent means? Someone who is consistent, they commit to a certain objective, whether they feel like it or not, they know it's a duty. I need to do this. Lack of consistency means today you feel like doing it, another day you are not in the mood to do it. Anything beautiful, beneath it, there's continuity and consistency. Yeah. And Continuity and consistency is a signature of God. Look at everything around you and tell me anything natural which is not consistent. The motions of the sun, the planets, they are all consistent. Right now, walimi, wamboganiza pa fertilizer, pa sopa, minute, waganiza kuseula, waganiza fertilizer. Why?
Right now, the farmers are thinking about fertilizer, they are thinking about clearing
the... We can trust the way natural processes work. We know rains are about to come. Because when God creates something, He builds consistency in it. Plant one mango seed. Let it grow and produce fruit. Take a seed out of it and plant it. It will produce the something. Praise God. Now, that's the kind of work which needs to be done if a beautiful garden has to come out of a bush. You know, along this road, there's this big, beautiful house there. Beautiful lawn outside. So beautiful. Those kind of places you want to pose for a picture. Oh, when the sun goes down, you always see those workers who come. They look around. If there's any litter, they pick. There are gatekeepers there. They are watchers. They look around so that the place keeps on looking beautiful. Now, this is what we are talking about. Your mind. That place where your thoughts are. Is actually a garden. It's a field. It's a field. It needs maintenance. If there isn't that, what happens to a natural environment is exactly what will happen to your mind. No difference. You see how this church looks like? We have a nice green lawn outside there. And those plants we've planted around there. Just give it 1 month. If we stop gathering here, that gentleman who always comes every month to mow the lawn, you'll find weeds here. Is that true? You find weeds. Yeah. And to keep it looking the way it looks, there has to be a mind which is committed to deliberately. Everyone said deliberately. No, I don't like that Bemba phrase. To do something deliberately. Meaning, you've planned, you've decided to do it. There has to be deliberate action to say, here I need to water, here I need to remove this and that. All the places you can go to, there is no single beautiful garden which happened by chance. As we say it in Chewa. There's maintenance, there's servicing. In the absence of that, there'll be weeds, there'll be thorns. Now, you know, right now, we are all gathered here. we can't see what is going on in each other's minds. But if God for a moment was to open our eyes and we saw how every field of the mind is looking like here, some minds have become a bush. You know what you find in a bush? Thorns. You find stones. You don't find stones in a garden. And that's how some minds look like. Now, you know, when you go in a bush and you lift a rock, beneath that rock, there's no light. There's darkness. So underneath, a snake can hide there. Roaches can hide there. Lizards. And when you lift the stone, they know that we are exposed here. So they quickly run away. Hear me, child of God. If your mind lacks soberness, the light of God does not continuously shine on it, you have a bush in you. And there'll be cockroaches there. Roaches of wrong thoughts. Jealousy. Prejudice. Fear. Unbelief. Self-pity. But well, on a Monday morning, you are in your office, or at school, people see a smile. But God's eyes can see your heart is a dark forest. But before it becomes a forest, it starts with a little weed being allowed to grow. Yeah. And don't say, well, that's an unbeliever who can be in that state. Listen to me, the same condition can arise in a believer. Brother Gunn wrote a book, From Glory to Glory. Beautiful book, you should read it. And he talks about when a Christian is careless and does not tend to his mind, wrong things will start building up in the mind. They'll start growing in the mind. Now, do you know that the mind, by the way it is, you know, it's an open field. That's how it's been made. So, there'll be birds flying over it. Those are things, as you are moving, oh, you see something you are not supposed to see. Right? Or people are talking, you hear a conversation you are not supposed to hear. Someone said, you can't stop birds flying over your head because you have no control. You can't seal people's mouths first. You know, because they could be having that conversation. It could be on the radio, it could be on television or wherever it is. So there is a realm, it is not within your control. But there is a realm, you are in control. If that bird comes and lands on your head, it starts putting droppings on your head. It starts making a nest there. There now you are careless. That's within your control. So a bird can fly over your head, but you can stop it from making a nest over you. Yeah. So as we move through life, thoughts want to get your attention. You are a believer or not a believer, thoughts want to get your attention. The question is your mind in a state of readiness to quickly take action? Allow me to share two testimonies which happened. One, it happened to Brother Branham. Another one happened to Brother John Mark Lousy. You know, this happened on 22nd November 1961. It happened to Brother Branham. He narrates this incident in his message, An Absolute. The message was preached in 1963. So if you want to read the whole thing, you can see that message. So I'll just read it. And I hope as I read it, you can see something as it relates to you. Because remember, we are all human beings and experiences we go through are common. So if I say another person has overcome, you need to learn from that. Yeah, you need to learn from that. Next morning, when I woke up, I was laying there. I said, I better get up and take the children to school. I think we all go through that. Maybe you can say, oh, let me get up, I need to go for work. Let me get up, I need to do this and that. So, Brother Branham here got up, he wants to take the children to school. But he says, I looked over and there was this hideous looking thing. Great big horns sticking out of it. He was going, sounded like a hen cackling. I looked at it, I said, Meda, Meda, honey. And she didn't wake up. I thought, yeah, that would scare her to death. I waited there just a minute and stand and watch. Now, let me pause here. He sees a demon in the room. Now, you know, in this spiritual dimension, you can see things in whatever imageries which are shown to you, right? And, you know, he says, people talk about devils and don't even know what they are. You know, many times you think of, demons, and you take it like it's something far away from you, huh? And he says, people talk about devils and don't even know what they are. That's right. But you run headlong into them every day. Did you hear that? These spirits are everywhere. They are in many places. But the thing is, this man is gifted. His eyes can be opened and he can see, hey, there's something else in this room, right? You and I do not have the gift the brother had. But that does not mean we don't go through or experience what he was going through. But he was able to see it. He wants to wake up his wife. And he says, let me not wake her up. She'll be very scared if she sees that. You know, when I think of the veil God has put on us not to peek and see into that dimension, it's really God protecting us. I wonder how we would live life if we lived in those two dimensions at the same time. Life won't move on normally the way it's supposed to move on. Others will go in a coma and others will be in depression. Wow. So he says, well, I think this is going to scare her. Let me just let her alone. And after a while, so he started listening. He wanted to hear what that demon was speaking. He says, he was accusing me, said, you have no power with God. You are just a bluff. You have no power. Who was saying that? A devil. Whom is he speaking these words to? A man for whom we've never seen such a ministry this side of the Gentile dispensation. Talk of a man who heard the voice of God. Talk about a man who saw numerous miracles. Talk of a man who was sincere and humble. All that amount of testimonies did not keep the devil away from tempting him. There's no amount of testimony you can speak that will make the devil say, no, this one is strong, I can't do anything on him. No? Jesus Christ, remember? From baptism, there was a great testimony from heaven itself. John heard it. This is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. The devil followed him to the wilderness. He says, if you are the son of God. The first thing the devil wants to do when he comes to you is for you to doubt who you are. When courage goes out of you, there's nothing to fight with. The first line of attack is to make you doubt who you are. Yeah. Words are powerful. Because words sow seed of thoughts in the mind. Yeah. I've always been talking about the study I'm doing about near-death experiences. Amazing things you find in there. And this book was written by a medical doctor, a surgeon. And he interviewed fellow medical doctors, high-ranking people who had died and they came back to life. And here is what amused me. They said, when you die in that dimension, most patients say, communication is at a very high level. It doesn't involve mouth speaking to a mouth, but thought speaking to a thought. It says, before someone speaks something, I already see it. Like the person who was in an accident and he saw all the people rushing and doing all sort of things. And he says, when I look at a person and I want to know what they're thinking, I'll be able to see it. And before they speak, I would have known what they wanted to speak. And when I was reading that, I thought, wow, this is amazing. And all these who go through ND experiences, they talk about when they come to encounter what they describe as the being of light. It's a great light, and they know it's not a thing. They know it has a personality to it, and once you come in that light, it searches you out everything about you. It knows it. These things are not in message books. They're out there written by these people who are in the medical field. But they are in a place which can't be picked by a scientific instrument. So they can only get it by interviewing people and the different stories people are talking. But you know, I'm happy of one thing. When Brother Branham was telling us all these stories, no one could understand him. But now people who are writing these books are people coming from this educational field. Brother Branham says, when that light is moving over an audience and it sits over you, I see everything about you. Didn't he say that?
Yeah.
He didn't interview any dead people who came back to life. But all these who experience NDEs, a lot of them talk about how in the presence of that light, everything about me was just exposed. And all of them say, when I'm thinking a thought, that light would answer back what I'm thinking. And I read John Mark's testimony. Brother John Mark says in his testimony, when he entered that hut that night, and that light came, he says, out of it stepped a person. And when the Lord spoke to him, John Mark says, I started asking myself, he says, deep in my heart. I say, how will I be an apostle when I don't even know how to speak English? I'm not educated. And he says, I thought I was just thinking, but that person spoke, answering me back, yet I was just thinking. It's wonderful to know that you have a man who is uneducated like John Mark. He has a first time experience of such a thing. Another person has to read 1,000 records of near death experiences to wonder what is this thing all about. But here is something. In that realm, this dimension, which some people have tested when they died, thoughts are very powerful. One person says, when I was in that state and I saw people rushing with ambulances and all that, he says, I was at a distance. But when I looked at a person, it seems my mind had gone to right where the thing was going on and I could hear what that person is thinking, but I didn't make any movement. I was still where I was. And he talks about how thoughts are loud. Do you know when Brother Branham had that experience beyond the curtain of time, he was taught, your thoughts are very loud in heaven. Yeah? But here in this realm, we've grown up in this flesh. And so the only reality we know is what we go through. Friends, when you look at these things, you realize that we are in prison houses. There is a deeper level of life. And so, Brother Branham starts listening to what the devil was speaking. He says, you have no power with God. You are just a bluff. You have no power. If it was you, what would you have done? I can tell you, a number of us would be afraid. You would even start saying, Lord, have mercy on me. Let me have your power. You know, the devil will always size you up. You know, when we were children, and you have a fight at school,
You want to scare your opponent first. You do this. You do this. Before you throw your... you speak words to say, "Iwe ungani menyewe." Ona mwamine uliri kuyonda. Why those words? Why those advances? You're trying to weaken that person, to doubt himself who he is. Right? The devil does the same. Sizes you up. But Brother Branham said, "I said, Satan, you are an offense to me. Get out of my way in the name of Jesus Christ." And he left. I laid there a little bit in the bed. Started to raise up. I felt a real sweet feeling come over me. I thought, I wonder if the Holy Spirit now is close. And over in the corner, the sweetest voice I ever heard in my life said, "Don't fear to go anywhere, and don't to do anything." For the never failing presence of Jesus Christ is with you wherever you go.
Now,
do you realize the words which the Spirit of God spoke were the total opposite of what the devil said? Now, the devil said, "You don't have the power of God. God is not with you." In the next moment, when the presence of God came, it told him, "Don't fear to go anywhere and don't fear to do anything, for the never failing presence of Jesus Christ is with you wherever you go." Now look here, saints. You don't have to see the devils, but I can tell you that can happen to you. It's just that you don't see what's going on, and sometimes you think it's just thoughts coming into your mind. Now, if this brother had received that seed of what Satan was speaking, you know what he would do? You doubt. He would have doubted his identity, who he was. Even when he starts praying, he would have prayed a wrong prayer. He said, "Oh, can you pray a wrong prayer?" You remember when Joshua, when he was defeated, you know, by those people of the land of Ai. The Bible says, he fell down and started crying to God and fasting. God asked him, "What are you doing? Don't you know there is sin in the camp?" So, be careful of what is sown in your mind. 2 Corinthians 10 verse 5, it says, casting down imaginations and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. That sounds like an action word. Bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. But how do you do that? Hear me. Your life is a manifestation of what you are nurturing inside you. Thoughts are very powerful. Someone can lose weight just by thinking. You can put nice, delicious food here. If the mind is depressed, everything gets confused. Even the brain fails to properly interpret what you are eating. Right? So if you don't take care of what goes on inside you, wheat will grow. Weeds. Weeds of depression. And belief. And devils will start dancing in the sitting room of your mind. People so can be worshipping and praising God. But you lose all the energy to stand, to worship and glorify God. Check what you allow in your mind. And seeds, thought seeds, they can come from what people speak to you. Or how their attitudes come towards you. You know, someone in his psychological makeup can have an attitude where when you are appreciated, you feel so good. You feel motivated to do something. The danger of having such a state of a mind, when people don't praise you, you feel demotivated. You feel people haven't liked what I've done. It's dangerous not to know who you are. You become a captive of other people's thoughts. Whatever you do, you first want the approval of what do they think about me? How do I look? Some people have gone under the knife, especially women. To change how their bodies look like because they feel I have low esteem, I don't feel attractive enough. Do you know people go for surgery for such things? It is dangerous to live life like that. It's dangerous. Your number one concern is my life pleasing to the Lord? Am I humble in his walk with him? Amen. Amen. Esteem other people. And be satisfied with the place God has given you. If you are a doormat in the house of God, be an excellent doormat. Because the joy of the Lord is your strength. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let me move on to another testimony. You know, it's a blessing to talk about testimonies. Remember how John Wesley received the Holy Spirit? He was so troubled, he felt he didn't have the Holy Spirit. And he found himself in a place where they were doing a Bible study and he found them reading the words of Martin Luther, "The just shall live by faith." That's how he received his blessing. Now, let me show you how when your mind makes decisions based on how you feel people feel about you, how that can be dangerous. Now remember, we're not talking about living carelessly, where you are a nuisance and somehow you just feel you need to have your own way. That's not what we're talking about. I believe you are spiritual. You know what we're talking about. At this time, Brother Branham had a dream. I want you to listen carefully to what experience he had. I dreamt a funny dream, an old dream. A strange dream. Now, in this dream, he saw his brother-in-law. The name of his brother-in-law was Fletcher Broy. Fletcher Broy. Now, let me explain something before I read what he's talking about. Mr. Fletcher had become an alcoholic in a very bad way, to an extent that his wife left him. His children left him. He became a drunk. One time, Brother Branham found him, you know, he was looking like, you know, a bum? A bum is someone who is homeless, you know. They spend time warming themselves in the fire, you know. They just move around, sometimes begging food. That's a bum. Hasn't taken his bath, he's all dirty. He's okay, his mind is okay, but you know, he just lifts off these dump sites and things like that. That's a bum. So, this brother-in-law of his had become so poor because of alcoholism. So one day, Brother Branham visited him and Brother Branham was touched by the way he looked. He said, Fletcher, let me give you some money. You know, you get yourself something. You know what he said? He said, no, Brother Bill, no, don't do that. When you give me money, I'll go to start drinking and so I don't want the money. He says, okay, I can give you some clothes or something. I have some suits you can get. No, I'll sell them and then I'll end up buying beer. You know, he became a prisoner. Do you know addiction can reach that place? There are some people, if they have not taken I know of someone who had reached that point. Gatsanamwe anjenjema. Akamwa de panankara soba. Vankara reverse manj. Yeah, there are people who end up in that state. I think when you reach that state, it's very dangerous. And so now, Brother Branham had a dream. I dreamt a funny dream, an odd dream. And I hope when my brother-in-law gets a hold of this, it doesn't hurt his feelings, and I hope I don't hurt my wife, who is sitting present now, but she knows it. About many months ago, it was around October or November, I dreamt that I was roaming out in the dark, and I had no place to go, and nobody cared for me. This is Brother Branham. He finds himself in this dark place and he felt nobody cared for him. And I had become a bum. We understand that word now. Huh? And I was cold. And I looked in the distance and I saw fire. And when I go over there, it was a city dump. And they had ditches and the fire was in these ditches. And between the ditches were bums who would sleep there to keep warm. Keep from freezing. And I walked up to this fire to get warm. And it was laying full of bums. And I didn't, and he says, and I saw my brother-in-law Fletcher. He said to me, Billy, I'll hunt you a place You fed my children when they were hungry. You was a daddy to them. I'll find you a place here to keep warm. So he sees his brother-in-law. Brother Branham sees himself as a bum. And this brother now says, I'll find a place for you. And we went walking by the bum's places and finally come to a place. And I walked up and looked out into the dark, cold night. And I thought, think of it. One time, God Almighty let me lead his church. One time, he let me preach his gospel and see souls saved. Men and women come from around the world to speak with me for a few minutes. And here I am now, a bum, and nobody wants me, and I am cold. What must I do? He came out of that dream. Hey, that's not a nice dream, right? So when he came out of it, he told his wife, Mida, I had this strange dream. So he says, quickly, let us go and see Fletcher. Maybe he's in trouble. He needs our help. You can find the narration of this in the message standing in the gap. So they went there. Well, Fletcher Broy was there and he knew it didn't mean what he found there, you know. So with time he just let it go, you know. But you know what happened? When Brother Branham started preaching messages which called people to go back to the Word of God. The miracles continued. The discernments continued. Invitation letters dropped. Pentecost organizations started saying, ah, no, I think the things he teaches, let's not go with him. From 1,000 letters on one day, letters started dropping to only 100 letters per day. I think some of you have watched Paul Crouch when he was saying, you know, in those days when Brother Branham's ministry, you know, we were warned never to go to his meetings. Those were the times. So, when Brother Branham started hearing what people are speaking, people started saying he was called to be a prophet but not to be a teacher of the word, and so people were no longer interested in following him. That started affecting him. So he started telling himself, I think, let me stop this ministry of doing crusades, the places I visit and all that. Since people are not interested in the message, I think, let me withdraw from ministry. Listen to what he says. I come back down from Canada and in my mind I had it made up. If these people didn't want to hear my message, all right, they didn't have to. I had preached now for about 35 years, and the last 15 to 18 years, I've done nothing but just to the Lord. I've tried to live so close to him and not to say a word till he told me first, everything. That night, we traveled most of the night and the next day. So he's thinking about this as he's driving. It was a very long drive he had. And then on the next morning, we had left Helena, Montana, and was coming on towards the border. I got up about 4 o'clock and got started driving, and Billy was sleeping. I was thinking on my mind. I want you to watch those words. I was what? Thinking on my... I believe you have moments like that where wankala wena usto gwira na mutu wangenelela maganizo. You have moments like that, huh? When you are in deep thoughts, be careful what is around you. You could be having a conversation with someone and you think you are thinking. Right? I was thinking on my mind. Now, it's not all the time that there is a devil talking to you. Your own mind can be having a conversation with itself. But our minds were never meant to navigate life on their own. It's not safe. You need a compass. You'll be lost. No matter how educated, no matter how great, no matter how confident you feel about yourself, the human mind was never meant to navigate life on its own. It needs to be surrendered in the hands of its creator. Because you can reason, you can even put dots here. No, I think the right thing for me to do is this, and yet it's a wrong direction you are going. Here is the brother. He has a great calling on his life, but he feels now, he goes deep in thinking about his ministry. And he says, you know what? One of these days, as soon as I can get the wife up there, and I won't tell her what I'm going to do, but I would get up there and then I'm going to tell her, I love this place so well, no need of us going anywhere else. So he has a plan in his mind that I'll go just in some forest away from the cities where I can just be living in this countryside in the forest, and I won't tell her my plan is to resettle. I'll just tell her, I think unakwanta fika ndeko amenati zankara. He is planning. He says, back from civilization, 1100 miles from anywhere, way in the wilderness, I thought. Boy, won't that be fine? I won't have to get a haircut and I won't have to dress up. I'll just be a regular mountaineer, what I always wanted to be. And I said, I got some guns and some people give me and I'll be a guide like you never heard of. Now, Brother Branham used to love hunting. He was actually a professional guide. A guide is a person who can take tourists or other people, show them around the mountains. He used to live off that at one time. He was very good at that. Then now, see how thoughts can comfort you even when you are thinking wrong. He says, then if the Lord tells me to go down and tell somebody something, I'll run out and tell them and come back again and I'll help God and we'll really have a real place here. I was thinking on that. He says, when God gives me that, saith the Lord, that's when I'll be coming. Maybe hold the church meeting. I deliver that, saith the Lord, and then I go back to myself. He kept thinking and thinking. Now, you know what happened? As they were driving, Billy Paul is asleep in the rear part of the vehicle. So now he thought, okay, we need to eat here. He reached a place where there was a restaurant. So they got off there with Billy Paul. Then they are eating in a restaurant. You know what happened? There are two bums who entered that restaurant. Now, sorry, I've gone ahead of the story. Before the two bums entered, Brother Bram says there was one big gentleman with a very good build of the body, you know? An elderly man, but looking energetic. He was wearing a certain outfit, looking muscular and a hardworking man. And Brahman says, the man let out a very good, healthy cough, you know, like a chew, you know. Brother Branham would go in those details of explaining that. He really admired this man. And so, he tells his son, that's how I'll be in the future, you know, looking good like that. Billy Paul looked at that. Then there are two bums who entered in. And he says, no, Dad. Look at that fellow. One looks like Fletcher, my uncle. The other one just looks like you. Now, when Brother Branham looked, he says, indeed it was true. He saw two men who were looking dirty, all soiled up on the faces, and it's like they were coming from warming themselves from a fire. And he says, one indeed looked the way I look. He really resembled me. The other one looked exactly like Fletcher Broy. So when Billy Paul said, no, Dad, there goes Uncle Fletcher and you there. Look at how they look. When Brother Branham looked at that, it shook him. He didn't laugh. Billy Paul may have meant it as a joke, you know. So, Billy Paul noticed the composure of his father's face changed. So Billy Paul says, hey, what's wrong with you, Dad? What has happened? He says, nothing. But Billy Paul saw that his father looked disturbed. You know why he was disturbed? That dream he had came before him. Fletcher Broy as a bum and him as a bum. So he said, they went to the vehicle to go on with the journey. Billy Paul said, I think I want to sleep on. He went back to sleep. It was a long drive. Are you following the story? Are you learning something out of it? Mm. And so they continued driving. Then Brother Branham says, a voice spoke. You know what the voice said? If you carry out these plans you have, you end up like those two bums you saw. And your wife will leave you. Think about that. Think about it. Let me read the words. If you carry out your plans, you end up like those two men you saw in the restaurant. You become a bum like you were. Now listen to what the voice said. You will become a bum just like you were in that dream I gave you. Are you seeing what was the interpretation of that dream he had? When he had the dream, he thought, hey, let us go see Fletcher. I think something wrong has happened or something. But here now, the voice tells him, you carry out the plans you are having of withdrawing yourself from ministry, you end up like those bums you saw, like the bums you saw, even in the dream that I gave you. Right? Your wife will leave you. She won't live up there in the mountains like that. Now, pause for a moment. Fletcher Broy, his wife left him. Do you realize that? When you read the message in which Brother Branham talks about this, he says his wife went living a sinful life. Because now, she went to live a sinful life, right? But you need to ask yourself, what caused that? Because of the life Fletcher started living, right? And here, the Lord tells him, you live like that. Now, when you look at Sister Mida, she was a good, humble sister, right? But God tells him what will happen. Your wife will leave you. Do you know that the thoughts you have, they don't just affect you, they can affect the people around you. Let me say that again. Your thought patterns, they don't just affect you, they can affect the life of people around you. For Frecha, his wife left him. The family got broken. The children left. Now, the Lord wants Brother Branham. If you carry out your plans, let's ask ourselves, which plans? The plans seemed innocent, right? He didn't say, I want to go and be a sinner or to do this and that. He says, I'll just go in the mountains and, you know, since people don't want to hear the word of God I'm preaching, I just need to get away from the people, right? The voice did not end there. You know what the voice said? Brother Branham answered the voice. He said, but Lord, I read in the Bible, prophets lived in the wilderness away from the people. Why can't you allow me to live like that? Listen to what the voice answered him. Like Moses, you are in danger of losing your feelings for my people and forgetting the task I've called you to do. Friends, those are deep words. Like Moses, you are in danger of losing your feelings for my people and forgetting the task I have called you to do. To those of us who are called into ministry, and there could be many listening online, when God calls you to lead people, the people don't have to like you. You need to be faithful to your call. When you have a gift in the house of God, it doesn't have to be preaching. I don't know what gift you have. People don't have to like you for you to be faithful to God. You say, oh, I'll leave the church because people don't appreciate me. Who told you a gift has to be appreciated for it to be fruitful? Look at Moses. Do you know what he went through? Hey, today we are civilized, so to speak, right? But that was a great prophet in Israel. People saw innumerable signs. But do you know when they felt the danger of the wilderness, the Bible says they were ready to pick stones and to stone Moses. Do you know that? If there is a servant of God who was abused outside the Lord Jesus Christ, in the Bible as I read it, Moses was grossly abused. Oh, today you read about him. He did miracles. He did this and that. And it has become a name of envy. Like he was a great servant of God. It was not like that when he was with the people. It wasn't like that. That man was abused. Remember one time, Death and Korah, they organized, was it 250 people? And the Bible says, he organized the renowned men, people of reputation in Israel. Trying to tell Moses how he was very incapable. How, you know, and Moses was very meek. The Bible says he was the meekest man on earth. Very meek. Even when God told him to go before Pharaoh, he refused. He says no. God had to bring Aaron to say, okay, you'll be speaking things to Aaron and Aaron will be speaking to Pharaoh. You know, there's this picture we have of Moses, which movies have put in our heads. But if you saw Moses, the real character, most of you will be very discouraged and disappointed. He was a man not having courage to speak before Pharaoh. When God was calling him, he says, ah, no, me, I stammer. I don't have a good way of talking, you know? But God found a worthy vessel to use. But you know, Brother Bram says, you know, he separated himself. He just wanted to go in the wilderness. Remember when he killed that Egyptian, huh? He ran away, right? So I think let this situation be. I was trying to help and then these people are turning against me. He goes away. He left the people, right? When it gets hot, so I think Vamina Nichita, if people are not appreciating, Moses fled. He ran away. He wanted to have nothing to do with that. That is losing feelings for your people because you feel this is not helping. And the voice here tells Brother Branham, like Moses, you are in danger of losing your feelings for my people and forgetting the task I've called you to do. Those are deep words. And I need to ask you, have you ever reached a point where you lost feeling for people because you felt you are not appreciated? Not just in church, in your family. It can be in your family. It can be at your workplace. Do you know our calling is in every place where we find ourselves in? Yes. Paul says, respect your seniors the way you would even respect Christ. But you are in great danger if whatever you do, you are looking at the eye of man. Whatever you do, do it to the glory of God and for the love of the people, whether they like you or not. Love God's people. Love everyone. They don't have to love you back. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Let's conclude the testimony. He was driving as these words were speaking to him. You know what the voice said? The voice said, look westward. I'll give you an everlasting sign. So he looked to the west. You know what he saw? He was just seeing mountains. You know when you are driving, sometimes you can see mountain peaks, right? So he saw mountains. He says, Lord, I can't see any sign. Then the Lord drew his attention. How many mountain peaks are you seeing? He counted the mountain peaks. There were 7. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. He says, I have written your name there. He says, how many letters are in your name? That shook him, you know. Stopped the vehicle, moved out. He started looking at the mountain tops. And then the voice told him to count the highest mountains. There were 3. There were 3 which stood, one here, and the another one was the highest. And the voice told him, those 3 mountain tops are the 3 pools in your ministry. The voice told him, don't you remember what I told you, that your message will forerun the second coming of Christ? Continue with the work I've given you to do. Now, do you know what the 3 pools were? The first 2 pools were to attract people. Find it in the message, look away to Jesus. The first two pools were to attract people. The little fish, every little fish, right? The third pool was for the big fish, the rainbow trout. The angel had even told him, shake the hook just a little bit, it will scare away the little fish, but that will attract the big fish. All these things which were happening in his ministry were foreordained. The Pentecostals had to shake away from that. To let people with ears to hear, to be attracted and hear the message. Blessed be the name of the Lord. As he was seeing those three mountain tops, you know what happened? Billy Paul was up there also. He shouted, Dad, look at the east. Because he was looking at the mountain tops on the western side. Seeing his ministry in those mountains. As Billy Paul said, look on the east side, Dad. You know what he saw? A big dump site with a smoldering smoke. The thing which was in the dream. And Brother Branham says, oh my, I would have made a terrible mistake in my life. There was the eastern side and the western side. The western side was the glory upon the ministry. The eastern side was what he would have ended up had he followed his thought patterns. Hear me, child of God. Before you is the western and the eastern side. One wrong thought pattern, it will be a vector that throws you in a wrong direction. Never let self-pity guide your decisions. If you are not sure about something in life, go on your knees, pray, seek the Lord. When your strength is going out, be sincere, Lord, I'm losing my strength. Help me gain my ground. Don't make decisions out of anger and frustration. That's not the spirit of God. Don't do that. Always humble yourself. You are just a vessel. God is using you to bless another person, whether in the family, whether in the church, whether at your workplace. Look beyond your boss. Whatever position you have, it's God who has given you that. That boss has put you over. God already saw it. That is why when Jesus stood before Pilate, he didn't answer back. He knew it's God who made that position for Pilate to do what he was doing. And Pilate's mouth went loose. He says, don't you know I can release you? That's the moment Jesus spoke. You know what Jesus said? You would never have had that power if it wasn't my Father who gave you that. It's the privilege of God you are exercising right now. Remember David? When that man insulted him, And his bodyguard was ready to kill that man. He said, my king, allow me to kill this dog which is insulting you. David says, why would you do that? Don't you know it is God who has put those words in his mouth for him to speak that to me?
He says,
let him alone. It takes a mind which fears God to act like that. What are we speaking, brethren? Take care of your mind. Take care of the garden of your mind. Let's go to Proverbs 6 verse 4 to 11. And we'll conclude with a short testimony of Brother John Mack. Don't allow weeds. When I say weeds, I mean thoughts which are unhealthy in your mind. Unclean thoughts, we are not talking of fornication, bad things, of theft. No, no, no. Look at Brother Branham. He seemed to be having innocent thoughts, right? Bring your thoughts under the obedience of Christ. Okay. Let us look at Proverbs chapter 6. Here, I want to encourage us to know that action is very important. For your mind to become a beautiful, healthy garden, action is very important. Deliberate action. Deliberate action. Look at this man in Proverbs 6 verse 4. Give not sleep to thine eyes, nor slumber to thine eyelids. Let us go to verse 9. How long would thou sleep, O sluggard? When would thou arise out of thy sleep? A little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep, so shall thy poverty come as one that travaileth, and thy want as an armed man. It speaks of how when you are lazy, you don't take action. Poverty comes. And that is true. If a man has a field but is just lazy, he doesn't pick his hoy, there'll be trouble. Weeds are going to grow. Why? What is causing that? Sleep. Folding of the hands. Folding of the hands means when you are supposed to take action, you folded them, you are resting. Don't do that. Let your mind be ready to take action. And action should not be dependent on feelings, because feelings can be misleading. When you are supposed to be studying, you are sleeping. And you are praying, pray for me that I pass my exams. How? Those who do well, they are people of action. You need to have action. And so now, let me conclude with the testimony of Brother John Mack. God had taught Brother John Mack, you speak English. I'll give you English. Remember the vision? But what happened? What did it take for him to start speaking English? You know, according to his testimony, every time he got his Bible, it was in Ateso language. It's a Ugandan language. He says, I would go in the bush and I would be looking at those words. Then he heard about A-E-O-O. He heard how people were speaking and how it was matching with the words he was trying to figure out. This is a man who's never been in a classroom. But you know, later on when he received the Holy Spirit, God raised him to start preaching even in churches, people heard his testimony. He knew how to read a tessel, but he did not know how to speak English. So now all Pentecostals, you know, in Karamoja, they had this convention. They called it prayer convention. So they selected the three preachers to preach at this convention. The other two preachers were educated. But there was a hunger to hear this preacher who had a strange testimony to also speak. So they put him among the three preachers. And all the people knew that, yeah, God has called him, but he doesn't know how to speak English. This is in Uganda, Karamoja. And Brother John Mark says, I decided to buy, and you know what is interesting? I was telling this to the people yesterday. When God told Brother John Mark that he will be given English, that time he used to work for Pastor Gideon. He used to take the cows, take care of the cows of Pastor Gideon, a Pentecostal preacher. You know what he did? He told Pastor Gideon, buy me a Bible in a tessel. A man who doesn't know how to read. But you know what? He took his own money. 13 shillings. Buy me a Bible. Now, you know, pastors are always found with Bibles. Even in my office, I have plenty of them. John Mark did not say, please, Wabusa, mganikulire ko Bible na ine. That's not what he said. You know, there are people with such an attitude. They just believe in being given something. I don't believe in that if you're a young person and you are energetic. John Mark took his own little money, gave the pastor, buy me a Bible. Do you know God rewards people with a desire? There has to be a desire and commitment. That's how God treats his children. He wants them to have commitment. The place where I used to work, all right, people say, Mr. Piri, you need to buy me a Bible. This is your fellow worker. Na eva landira salary ati nimguli the Bible. So, even me, I get my salary, then nakuguli the Bible na ewe. Vipanga sensible. John Mark was working as a shepherd. Tell me how much a salary, even here in Zambia, someone who does that earns. Go to Mwembeshi. You find boys, and usually it's these people from maybe a very poor family. He goes in the bush. That's not a good salary. But he sacrificed to get a Bible. When time came for the convention, he decided to get an English Bible. But he didn't know how to speak English. When he stepped on the pulpit, they gave him an interpreter. Someone was supposed to be interpreting now in English. But he told the people, well, shall we stand for the reading of God's word? And everyone was shocked. Brother John Mark says, I felt the presence of God come down. And I started speaking English from that moment on. And he says, I spoke English for 1 hour, 30 minutes. And at the end of the preaching, he says, a lot of people got baptized in the Holy Spirit. Those who've heard Brother John Mark preach, he used to speak excellent English. Eloquent. Better English than people who've gone to school. Never been in a classroom. No one taught him. The Holy Ghost gave him that ability. But how did that happen? It came with a promise first. Jesus told him, I'll give you English. But remember the prayer Brother Branham prayed, which we started at the beginning? No, I don't think I read it at the beginning. When you read the message, Melchizedek. Who is this man, Melchizedek? Read the prayer the prophet prayed. There's something he said. Let me see if I... Well, you can read it in that. He said, may we nurture the promises you have given us in our hearts and have the discipline. I love that, those words in that prayer. He said, may we nurture the promises in our hearts, the promises of God. Nurture. Nurture means to take care of them. To water them. So God's promises are here. God can speak something even in your life. But you have to cultivate the condition in your heart. There has to be manure. There has to be watering. Read this word, the Bible, prayerfully. You listen to sermons like this. We record sermons here. Listen to the sermons prayerfully. Go in prayer believing. Deliberately remind yourself of God's promises. Deliberately. That's what the word of God says. Joshua 1 verse 8, meditate on the words of the Lord. Don't look to the left. Don't look to the right. Meditate. What is to meditate? It's to deliberately remind yourself. Speaking those things. Speaking them in prayer. Because if you don't think about them, your mind forgets. Moses told the people to say, in your houses, write the words of the law. On your doorposts, write them. He says, when you wake up, talk about them when you sit with your children. Recite those words, speak them. What is that? That's a work of a gardener. That's a work of a farmer. Farmer ama seula. You don't just sit down and say, Tiembekeza kukolola. Is that how you do as a farmer? No. Uyambo pita mafuti na kambwiri kuseula. Nipa atipari vima weeds. Chifuko ukavisia vima weeds, they start competing for nutrition in the soil. Instead of a plant being healthy, it starts looking yellow and all that. That's the behavior of a weed. Oil. In your words, brother. That's the behavior of a weed. It competes for nutrients in the soil. Do you know weeds in our daily lives? Social media is a weed. TV is a weed. It fights for the same time. Time you are supposed to pray, you are just scrolling on the phone. Nothing wrong with having a phone. But be sure, the things you are seeing there are productive things. Otherwise, they will eat up the spiritual nutrition you are supposed to have. They take it away from your time. Chatting when you're not supposed to be chatting. Talking stories.
Just wasting time talking and talking.
Weeds in your life. There is a time for everything. Be disciplined. Put a guard around your mind. Tend your garden, child of God. Shall we stand? Your life is a result of how you tend the garden of your mind. Nothing happens by magic. Nothing. In the physical world, God has given us everything. He regulates it by principles and laws. Even the tree of Psalm chapter 1, no matter how fruitful it is fruitful because it is planted by the rivers of water. Take the same tree and starve it of water, it will dry up. When God said, be fruitful, that's an action word. Shall we bow our heads? Heavenly Father, we thank you for the words we see in your word. Words which tell us that when you looked at that garden, there was no one to dress it and to keep it. And you put Adam there to do that work. And now, Lord, we realize we have a garden inside of us. A garden which is supposed to be fruitful, which is supposed to be pure, which is supposed to be fertile. Forgive us, Lord, for the many times we've been careless to let weeds, weeds of unbelief, weeds of idleness, weeds of all these unhealthy things develop and grow into even strong bushes. But Lord, we are so thankful that you are able to help us when we are ready to surrender. So Lord, have mercy upon us. As we start this week, help us, oh Father, that we can tend to our garden. If there are weeds which have grown in places, oh God, we desire that they be uprooted in the name of Jesus. By giving time, deliberate time, to hearing your word, to closing ourselves in our closets, spending time to think about the word of God, to think about the good things you've done in our lives, to think about where we can be if we are totally surrendered. Lord, help us as we start this week. And we know you are ready to help us, Father, if we can come to a place of putting ourselves in a place where, Lord, you can work on our hearts. Even as your word says, come, come, buy. Lord, that tells us we need to come to that place of being ready for you, your great hands, to work on us. Help each and everyone here, from the oldest to the youngest. We know that, Lord, you've given us a work to do. Even Samuel, young as he was, Lord, you expected him to know how to stand in your presence. So teach us your ways, Heavenly Father. We commit all these things into your hands, blessed Savior. In Jesus' name we pray, with thanks in our hearts. Amen. Amen.